Well, let's take a moment. It's always good for me if we can pray together. It helps me. Yeah. So let's pray this morning together.
Yeah.
God, we just thank you for the people that are gathered here today. I want to thank you especially for the work that they do in our yearly meeting, and not just there, but the work they do in their homes, the work they do at their jobs. And I just pray, Father, today that you would be with us in our conversation. We just ask that you guide and direct that, but we also ask, God, that you might help us to have our ears open, maybe to something we haven't heard before. Maybe unblock us if we have a block. But, Lord, more than anything, we just pray that the heart of Kaleo Academy would go forth, and that it would be pleasing to you in your sight, and that students would be equipped for their futures in a way that builds your kingdom. And so we just pray that you bless this time today, Father. In your name we pray.
Amen.
So, I want to start a little bit with the history for you to make sure that you know this. So, Kaleo Academy is the name of it. Kaleo, which you may have seen out on the sign, is a Greek verb which means to be called. And so that's where we got our name from, and I'm going to explain why we're doing that. But this past year, in 2015, the Lilly Endowment, which I don't know if you're familiar with them, they're from Indiana. Eli Lilly made his money in pharmaceuticals, and they have been doing a lot of support of religious education for many years. Some people, I don't know, Tom, if you do a sabbatical that was funded by them?
Yes, I did.
And I think the pedagogues have done some things with them. But anyhow, they've been doing these theological grants. What they're doing is grants to start high school theological programs, and they've been doing them, these grants, for 20 years. And so, but this past year, the class that they invited was the first time that they'd gone past seminaries, I think it was. And so we were the first group that was asked, we were asked to apply. They sent out letters to all these colleges across the nation, not just Christian colleges, and then just said, put an application in this. So this past year, they were only going to give out 20 grants, and they gave out 82. Mm-hmm. And for a total of, anybody want to guess how much money that was for 82 grants to high school theological grants? $45 million. I think basically they're saying, we want to put our money where our mouth is. That we believe that we need to keep nurturing. And specifically, if you read the grant that the letter they sent, they want especially denominations to work on developing future leaders, because they see that as a whole, that denominations aren't getting students to go into ministry. And so that was one of the purposes of that. I am going to show you a book just to show this to you. And this isn't from Lilly, but it's called How Youth Ministry Can Change Theological Education If We Let It. And some of the stuff in here, it's just more of looking at programs that have been in place and things that have worked and things that haven't. But it's a good overview. Some of the things you have to read with a grain of salt, remembering that this isn't sponsored by Lilly and it was written by an outside source, but it does help you to look and see what's been going on the last 20 years through the Lilly grants. Move on here. So you might be asking, we were having this conversation, I was, with these two over here who are the youngest in here. When I say theology, you know, some students are like, oh my goodness, why would I want to do that? Or maybe you're an adult and you think that, I don't know, I don't know why I pointed to you, Rob. But anyhow, but when we were talking, they were both like, oh, theology, which makes my heart happy. So I want to work off this definition with you of what theology is. And this comes out of that book. First of all, let me ask you, what is theology? The study of God. Great. Anybody want to add anything to that? That's great. That is definitely the Merriam-Webster definition.
Oh, well.
It's the study of God, but it's also the study of God's existence. And in the way that they broaden this a little bit, I want to read this to you because I really like this quote, is this is a question. Why would anybody, much less a high school sophomore, junior, or senior, want to study theology? Theology sounds arcane, abstruse. I had to look those up, by the way. The kind of thing only obscure religious intellectuals would ever take seriously. But that's a myth. For theology is the study of God. Good job, Anne. An inquiry that asks who God is and what God does and what God's existence, presence, will, love, and call mean for each of us and for all of us and indeed for all creation. And so think about that for a minute. It's basically saying it is all about God and it's the study of Him. But really, if theology is done right, it's not just about a study of Him. It's not just all here, it's here. And so the idea is that what does theology mean for me, for you, all of us together, and then throw that again, what about all of creation? And I'm not just talking nature. I'm talking about all the things that God has created for us. So if I would say the statement to you, how old are you guys?
20.
Ancient.
25. I'm a quarter century.
Okay. You are? Oh, I love that. I noticed that about you right away when you came.
It's the hair, isn't it?
If I ask you the phrase, have you ever felt called from God to something? How many of you would raise your hand? Have you ever sensed God putting some kind of a call into you to something? Raise them high. So basically everybody in here, am I right? Would any of you be willing to share those with us? Tell us about those. Don't be afraid. There's more candy. I can give you more candy.
No. Here you go. Piece of candy. Share a word. I'll be willing to share the first call that I ever felt was the same year that I committed my life to Christ when I was 15. And then later that year, I felt called to the ministry, and I was positive I would marry a pastor. And
how old were you? Tell me how old you were. 15 years old.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And when I went to college, I was looking for the fulfillment of that call.
Okay. Perfect. Go ahead. Tell me.
I was 16, and through the words of somebody else, God told me that I was going to be in music. At the time, I was not really into it. My voice felt crackly. I was like, yeah. Yeah, right. Something I've pursued since then.
Okay.
With affirmations every couple of years, really.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else? One more.
I would say, I don't know if I've ever really felt an overall call for my life, but I have felt small things that I would say is a call. And even something as small as we need to go visit someone, this person today. Or I felt like I was supposed to teach Sunday school for little kids. But an overall life calling, I don't know if I've been as clear in my life.
Sure.
But those little things, day-to-day things.
So this is great, because this is what we're talking about, is we have someone who felt a very strong, specific. Over here we have specific call, but really call to ministry, you know, with your worship in some ways. And then, you know, just daily calling, how God speaks to us out of our own life and everything that's around us. That is the heart of Kaleo, is that we want to help students. We want to come alongside them and go, how do you hear God? And what is it that God might be asking you to do? So the average age that most students experience some kind of call, especially to ministry, is 14. Where do you think those usually happen at, by the way?
Camp.
Church camp.
Yep.
Or a conference of some kind. That's what we have spent time actually traveling across about 6 different yearly meetings. And that's what the average age is 14, and almost everyone will tell you, I was at church camp. And they can remember the specific moment, who was speaking, what was going on. It just kind of blows my mind when that's a little plug for camp ministry, by the way. That maybe we sometimes get not sure camp is effective, but God's doing some big things there even when we don't realize that He's doing it. So we're talking about calling in two different ways, though. So first of all, this is a response that I've had when I've traveled around. Well, we're all called. Yes, we are. That when we ask God to be a part of our lives, we are all called to His redemptive work. We're all called to Matthew 28, go and make disciples. We are all called to that. I would not discount that at all. But what we are trying to focus on at Kaleo Academy is, what's our secondary calling? What's my vocational calling? And vocational doesn't, I'm going to show you a video, doesn't just mean your job. It means your life. What do I do with my whole life? How do I make God a part of that? I'm going to show you this video, and you need to bear with me because we couldn't get the audio to work in here. And so I'm just going to do it through here, but you should be able to hear. If everybody's really quiet, Rob, don't be so loud. That would be really helpful right now. So, got the definition of vocation now? I like that. I think that explains that really well to us. Write that button, go. When I was looking at that, something that came to my mind, because I think this is a great example, is Katie, Tom's daughter, is actually our project manager for Kaleo Academy, even though she's far away. So I was thinking about calling and how I think Katie's a great example of vocation for life, even though her vocations have changed. So Katie went to college, and then straight out of college, she went to the West Coast and helped manage theater. Isn't that right? But while Katie was there, she got involved with the local church and worked with a youth group, always spending her life. Then, you know, Katie, I think, went and got her master's at Gordon-Conwell. And she always talks about a professor she had who was 70 years old who taught youth ministry because he was invested for life, that he understood that. And then out of that, she came back to Triennials and there was a conversation and she ends up at Indiana Yearly Meeting working as a youth superintendent. And after that, she comes here for a little break, but while she was in Indiana, she met a guy named Carlos who likes her a lot and pursued her and wooed her, and he liked her so much he came to Iowa to find her and took her back. And now Katie's a mom to some stepkids, and she's a wife, and she's working part-time in family ministry. Is that right?
Nice, now, right.
So just think about how many different callings are in there, you know? But the same thing is true, that our calling is to make disciples. And so I think Katie's a great example of vocation on that. So I don't know if you picked up on this, but one thing that sticks out to me about that video is it talks about my life doesn't belong to just me. My life belongs to you, but it all belongs to God's story. And so I grew up with the generation of the American dream. Someone tell me what the American dream was. Anybody want to tell me what we would define that as?
White picket fence.
White picket fence.
Dog and truck and what?
2 point some kids, isn't that right?
Yeah. I didn't know I missed that.
So that was the generation I grew up in. My children's generation, my son graduated, one of my sons graduated in 2011 from college. And I was amazed as they were talking about the students who are graduating going and doing work overseas, Peace Corps, doing nonprofit work everywhere. It's beautiful and I love it. But in this generation, there's definitely this giving to the world, but it's not always Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. That oftentimes it's just giving and loving. And where does that reflect? Who does that reflect back on? A moment that I remember seeing that very clear was when I was in Africa. The first time I went to the place that that movie Out of Africa, the lady Karen, I can't remember her last name, and she did wonderful philanthropic things, wonderful. But there was no God center. And I remember looking at all that thinking, it's hollow. I mean, all that, if it's not given for God, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? And so that's the conversation, too, that we're trying to have with students is to say, it's more than you. I think a lot of the training that they get, especially in public school, is, you know, from a time they're little, we ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? But then it's always usually about how does it serve yourself? How does it serve you? How does it serve you feeling better by serving people? Everything comes back to us. And no, what we're trying to teach is a calling from God is about Him and how that we all do that together. So I'm going to tell you some of the aspects of our program. There's four different aspects. I wish Derek wouldn't have stepped out, but if you have a packet, there's a sheet there. Derek Brown is our theology director. Katie Moran is our project manager, and Derek is our theology. And he has put together, if you have a brochure. So these, what will happen is the first thing the student will do is they will come to the campus of Barclay College for 1 week next summer, June 25th through July 1st, and they will go to theology camp. And these are the five classes that we will have at theology camp. You can see it in theology camp. Introduction to biblical interpretation. We want to teach our students, how do you understand your Bible? What's the culture going on in that? Second one is historic Quaker tradition and evangelical Friends faith and practice. What does my history of people walking with God in the French church teach me about now? And how does my faith and practice fit into all that? The third one is Christian leadership, which will come from two pieces. One is obviously the Bible, that we're going to be teaching biblical Christian leadership. But the second is looking at our history of Christian leadership and other Christian leadership around the world. The next one is contemporary social issues and Friends faith and practice. How does what I believe affect my context and environment around me? And the last one that we've alluded to already is calling and vocation. One of our hopes to have at our theology camp is to have a vocation fair and to have people from all different walks of life come and share their story and have like a booth or a setting where students can walk up and ask them, tell me about this. Tell me what that means. What does that look like for you? What does it look like for you in life to be a part of that? And then each night, too, that we'll have someone's going to tell their story about their calling, and we're going to have people of different ages, different walks of life in that. So those classes will be taught, three of those will be taught by Barclay professors, and then we are searching for two evangelical voices from across all the yearly meetings to come and teach the other classes every summer. So that it's a mix of all of us together talking about theology and being together in that. So you might have a student in your church that would say, why on earth would I want to go to theology camp? It's like, do we just sit around in robes in classes and like sit there all day like this and just kind of, how are you doing? I don't know. What are we going to do? So this is a great little piece that's over there that says, what is theology camp? So besides our classes, I'll read this to you. It says, this week will include times of study, worship, fun, and fellowship, exploration, and service. Our days will begin with a time of personal reflection and worship. We will have classes and workshops in the mornings and afternoons, as well as time to do activities with a larger group. And our days will end in worship, a small group time, and celebration. So I think those of us who've been a part of youth ministry for a long time know that part of theology is playing. That's one of the ways that people learn is it's by being together and doing relationship. And so we just want you to know that we're not just going to be sitting around the whole time doing that. So then the next piece of our program is the mentor partnership. So I read an article from Fuller. I'm trying to remember when I read it. I read it this past spring, and it said that it takes 5 mentors besides your parents anymore to get a student through their life. 5 mentors. That could be a grandparent, it could be a teacher, it could be a coach, whatever, but that's the kind of the new what they're talking about. So I am curious. I believe that there's unintentional mentoring and intentional mentoring, if you know what I mean by that. I think that we all find students that maybe we connect with, and we build kind of this on Sunday, how's it going? Tell me what's going on. You're like, but we might not be intentional in doing study together or going out and having coffee or talking about a specific problem. But we have a lot of, I think, unintentional mentoring. I worked at a flower shop for 12 years as a designer in Grinnell, and we had college students who worked with us. My life with them was a lot of unintentional mentoring. It was like, do you want to come do your laundry? Can I make you a meal? Can I drop off something to your dorm room? And then before you knew it, they would start telling me the really hard pieces in their life, but that was through my vocation, and it was really haphazard in how that worked. Intentional mentoring is that someone obviously has a plan for what they want to do with you and alongside you. The Greek word that we use when we've been talking about mentoring is paraclete, which means to come alongside. The idea is that we come alongside. I like to think of it too like a dog on point. If you think about a hunting dog, they point and then you go. And I think that that's a lot of what a mentor does is maybe a student in their life can't see things, but boy, if you have someone walking alongside you, sometimes they can point and go, have you ever thought about this? You know, have you ever thought about this, doing this? So how many of you would say by a show of hands that in your life when you were younger, you had either an unintentional or an intentional mentor? Would you just raise your hands? Okay, and I don't know if you were there this morning when I asked that in the session. How many of you had someone who invested in you? It's huge. I believe, especially in ministry, when you have somebody who speaks into your life that says, I think you have some gift in this, it's huge. I don't know if you remember who said that to you about worship.
I do.
It's very specific, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that someone affirms something in you and is like, I believe in you. So I'm going to show you another video.
When did you discover your passion, purpose, call? Was there a mentor, friend, or community who illuminated the possibilities for your life? Some of you had support on your journey in figuring out life's biggest questions, while others of you explored alone. That was challenging. Right now, a young adult you know is asking themselves, what will I do with my one precious life? And they need you to ignite their spark in the world. After all, wasn't it a young adult who gave birth to the foundation of our faith? Open your eyes to their gifts. Do you see something in them that you saw in yourself or someone saw in you that led you to preach, teach, lead, serve? Do you see their desire to make a difference in the world through the church? Tap them, affirm them, help them discover their path toward a faithful future. Ignite their leadership for Christian communities and the world. Be a mentor, a champion who says, yes, you can lead, and I will help you. Listen to them, pray with them. Challenge them to imagine creative ways of doing ministry. Provide them leadership opportunities to explore their call and participate in God's work in the world. You can impact the lives of emerging ministers, teachers, healers, and leaders who will solve our world's biggest problems. But you don't have to do this alone. Others, like you, are ready to ignite a young leader's purpose, passion, and call, and turn their spark into an everlasting flame that lights up and impacts our church and world. FTE wants to connect you to these like-minded leaders to exchange ideas, resources, imagine the possibilities for our church, and inspire young adults to answer God's call. So, will you ignite leaders of the future or watch their life grow dim? The future of our church and world needs the next generation, but it also needs you.
I'm going to give a plug. FTE is the Forum for Theological Exploration, and they are a partner with us with the Lilly, and so they give us pieces that we can use. And so they just said whenever we use them, just that we give them a plug, so I wanted you guys to know that's who they are. So our design of Kaleo Academy is that your church helps a student find a mentor in their local faith community. And I do want to give a clause here. I had someone ask me, does my mentor have to be from the French church? Can I have a coach in my community or somebody that works on it? So the only thing with that is that they have to be okay that this is a Friends flavor. But it will work best if we have someone from the church who will walk beside them. Whitney Krieger is our mentor coordinator. Whitney developed the mentor program for Youth for Christ for Western Kansas. She started with one school, and it went to three counties and six high schools. It's called Mentor Match. I found Whitney by accident because she was in my master's class, and we thought we would just stop and visit with her about mentoring. She lives in Greensburg, which is next to Haviland. And as we were driving home in the car, my staff, I said, what do you think we just asked Whitney if she could build our program? And so she's built. And so if you go on our website, which should give you, it'll tell you the address on there, it's really, she has already worked really hard. Under the tabs, if you click mentor, there's a whole drop down that will explain the mentoring program and what we hope to do with that. I think what she has found challenging, she's done her own research and called a lot of these schools who've had grants for the last 20 years, who most of them have a mentor piece in their program, and every one of them has said, this is where we fail. We don't do well. And so Whitney is a very type A personality, and you don't tell her that it's gonna fail. And so she's gonna work for us 5 hours a week, where she's gonna call mentors, check on them, see how it's going. She's gonna give them supervision and support. We all know that in the times that we live in, we have to have a background check. All those pieces have to be done just to do our due diligence, but she will be overseeing all of those things. Don't be intimidated by being a mentor. If you actually look at the fine print, it asks the mentor only to meet with the student 3 times a month. That's really not that much, if you think about the economy of life. But she's doing a great job with that, and we hope that we've talked about, wouldn't it be great if that's what Kaleo Academy is known for, is for our mentoring. I think that would be exciting. So the next piece of our program is online learning. By the way, in the price that we'll talk about later, our price includes a mentor attending theology camp. We want the mentor, if at all possible, to come to theology camp with the student, because then the mentor goes through the material with them there, and when they get home, the mentor can be the interpreter to the church. They can talk about what was learned. They might know how to steer that, be a part of those conversations as they go home, but we really think it would be beneficial for both of them to be at theology camp together. Online learning. Many times our students will attend a conference or a camp, learn great things, and then they forget, or it stops there. Then a lot of times it takes a lot more. Well, our online learning community is taking those 5 classes that we had at camp, and we keep pushing that curriculum forward. So if I'm a student and I'm like, I'm already busy, I have this, this, and this, I'm doing this, I can't take any more schoolwork. Well, here's some of the things that we're hoping to do. Here's your assignment for the week or for 2 weeks. Find out why your church started. Why did your French church start? When did it start and why? Who were the pieces in that? One of the things I love to tell about Grinnell French Church, our building out on I-80, is that it was a family of 10, the 10 families that double tithe for how many years, Jim?
Lots of years.
Families that double tithe so they could build a building that was debt-free. Is that right?
For, it'll hold 200 people with a couple of services.
And they had a vision for that, So that is what we want the student to have an interaction with. Go to another denomination in your area service just to see what a different service is like, and then talk about that, of why do we do what we do, and why do you like the pieces that you have? So we want to be creative in our assignments. It's not like, you're going to write a 20-page paper on something. And then also in our online learning community, there'll be 2 videos a month. And they'll be talking more about the things that they learned at theology camp. But that's where we're also hoping to have some of the evangelical voices from other places be our guest teachers through videos. Would it be cool if I'm someplace and I'm like, wow, my pastor is my teacher this week, you know? And they'll talk about something to interact. We're using the Google Classroom format. I don't know if any of you, if your teachers have used that. It allows them to do Google chat. They can talk with their cohort. They can visit with mentors, all that. So that's what the online learning community will look like. And the last piece of our program, the other thing is we want to help students have positive social media action. And I think that's what our online learning community can do, because we all know that it's very hard to navigate that in their world right now. Not only for them, it's very hard for us as adults to navigate positive social media use as well. The last piece that we have in our program is called Release Project. This is our service learning. So for those of you who grew up Quakers, does anybody know how we use the word released as Quakers?
You're released at the ministry.
Okay. Go ahead. Anyone join in?
You're released from your local responsibilities to do ministry outside.
We talk a lot about that with pastors, don't we? That we when we talk about paying our pastors, is that we release them. That's the way that we talk about paying them, I think, if that rings a bell. So our idea of the Release Project is we want to release students into their communities, into their local faith communities now, with the idea that we as a church are a sending church, that we say we believe in you now and that you have gifts and talents, and we want to release you to do ministry in your community. So we're looking for 50 hours of service learning, and just to put that in perspective for you, think about it, 50 hours can be done in a week on a missions trip. But we would like to see it be more than 1 week. I'm done. You know, we don't want just to go check 50 hours, I'm done. Wouldn't it be awesome if your students helped look at needs in your community together and answer those? One of the pieces I liked about Grinnell, and it wasn't necessarily our church that did this, but we have a drive each year called Coats for Kids in Grinnell because it gets cold and people don't have coats. Well, suddenly people realize that Grinnell College's enrollment, half of their college are international students, and they're from places that aren't cold. And all of a sudden, they don't have coats. And so someone in the middle of this Coats for Kids, which was for kids in public schools, all of a sudden, you know, we really should broaden that. And so they met a need of our community. That's what we think would be awesome, is to think about what are needs of the community. If anybody lives in the Grinnell area, I'll tell you where a need is. It's after school at the library. There are kids running around there with no supervision. And it's crazy to see them just there. And I'm thinking, tutors, you could run programs, what could you do? But just help your students to think through that. Maybe your student's like, I don't know what I like to do. I have no idea what I'm gifted at, which is a part of our process of training with Paleo, is we want to help students think about spiritual gifts, how God's made them, what are the abilities that they have. But we were talking about Matt Macy, which you might be familiar with him. He's the assistant director for EFM, Evangelical Friends Mission, and he's working for us as point on our service learning projects. He said, wouldn't it be great if a student doesn't know what they want to do, that they could shadow different places in the church? So it snows a lot in Iowa. What if the student's like, I'm going to show up at 7 or whenever on Sunday morning and help remove snow? That's service learning. Maybe I'm going to go when there's a funeral and I'm going to help in the kitchen to help serve and see what that's like. The next time my pastor does hospital visits, I like to go with them, or she, or whatever that might be. But let's find places more than them just working in the nursery. Find places that they actually have giftedness to do. I think, and I hate to keep using Grinnell, but I can use it because you guys are familiar. We've had 3 high school girls that have taught Sunday school for the last 3 years. I mean, we've already released them because that's where their gifts and talents are. And I probably one of my biggest pet peeves when I was a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for 11 years, was when people would use the phrase, youth are the church of tomorrow. And I'm like, no, they're the church now. God didn't just give us little kids in church to be quiet. They're part of ministry. And let me back up. I want to show you a picture to help explain that. Find it. So this is our church. This is Charlie. over here. She's one of our adults. This is the row that our girls sit on. Charlie does stuff in the kitchen, and I mean, she's just a present person there, very friendly. The girls all know her. So then these are our high school girls who've been teaching, and then this is my youngest daughter, Katie, and Courtney's 2 years younger than her. So, oh, you can't see the picture. So if you could see this picture fully, I can't make up do it. This picture here, Katie's reading to Courtney. And I love this picture because it's a picture of making disciples. This is what making disciples looks like. You just keep going generation, generation, generation. And that's what is our desire to do. And I think service learning can be a great part of that because it's working alongside each other, learning to do that. A couple things with her out to think about on a bigger scale. I was just out at Eastern Region Yearly Meeting, and they have an incredible ministry in Pennsylvania called Alapaca, Aliquippa, which is a really needy area, and they just send students in there to do ministry. Friends Disaster Service has lots of opportunities. If we wanted to send our students someplace, those are incredible places to go. I was out in Northwest Yearly Meeting. They have a camp called Twin Rocks. They run a program for 6 weeks where you send a student to the camp, and it's not just being a staff member. They go through every position on camp except for director as a student of learning every night. They counsel 1 week, clean toilets 1 week, they make food 1 week. They go through all those pieces so they can really learn. And I had this girl tell me she's going to be a senior next year. She goes, "It's the hardest job I've ever had in my life." And second, she said, "I will never look at serving in any other way except for through those glasses of saying, I can't sit down anymore. I'll go home and my mom's making dinner, and all of a sudden I'm like, I've never helped my mom make dinner." You know? Why? It takes a lot of work to get dinner done and cleaned up and get on the table. And so for her, she talks about how that just changed her heart about giving to other people. So you can think on a broader level as well. And certainly, mission trips are wonderful. They're a great way to plug our students in. And especially if you have a student in your church who's calling, they're struggling, they're thinking about is doing missions, why would we not have them be a part of that? Be patient with me here. At the end of Kaleo Academy, which I don't know if you recognize the subtitle, it says National Friends Youth Training. We're trying to make this be a national event, not just something that's mid-America because it's close to Barclay, but our heart is we want to see a lot of students involved in this. And so our plan is, at the end of the academy, which runs 10 months, it runs from July through April, is to have regional celebrations. So say that we have 10 students from Iowa Yearly Meeting who take part in the academy. We'll find a central location here, and let's do a celebration. Let's invite the church. Let's invite the parents. Let's invite their peers, whatever we want in that. But we want to celebrate what they've done and release them and say, whether you're full-time, bivocational, you're not sure what you want to do, we as a church affirm in you that we believe God's given you gifts and we want to release you into the world to do those things. There will be, each student will do a final project, which could be a video, could be a paper, however they want to do that. Just kind of highlights what they've done throughout the year and what that's looked like for them. And that will be part of that regional celebration too, is getting to watch some of those videos, some of those clips, to get to see, people can see the effect of that. So last piece of this is the price of Kaleo Academy. So if you look on the back and you may have already had a heart attack, please don't, because I want to walk you through this. So you have to remember that this includes everything. This is a 10-month program, a whole year, which also includes sending a mentor to theology camp. It does not cover your costs traveling to and from down there. But so this is how I like to look at it, because it makes sense to me. First of all, does your church have a plan for leadership development? Does your church have a plan of any kind to develop future leaders? If you don't, this is a great thing to look at if you're thinking about developing future leaders. So break down the price of $700 for 10 months. How much is that a month? $70, right? Think about your budget as a whole, $70 a month to invest in leadership development. Do you know what NASA's budget is? I'm just saying, it's like 50-some million dollars for leadership training. Think about that as a whole. So say it takes a couple of $100 to get down there to drive. So say we're talking $1,000 for 1 year for leadership development. It's really not very big if you think about it. In your church packet, Katie has done an excellent job. It's under Sending Churches of Kaleo Academy. It talks about ideas. And one of the things that our desire is to do is we want to set up payment plans so that each month from January to June, that there would be money sent in. We would also like the student to raise part of their own funds. I think that's part of good stewardship. Take this to someone in your church who helps make financial decisions and talk about that. One of the beautiful pieces that came out of our church was when we had Summit a couple years ago, which I don't know if you remember. The original letter came out to the church asking the churches to send students to Summit as part of leadership development. Well, our missions committee was actually the one that really rallied it, and they did a garage sale for us. And so when our students were walking out the door to Summit in California, they were like, here's $100 to do whatever you want to with it. You know? And so we want the church to be a part of that, to think creatively of how can we be a sending church, how can we do this, how can we teach stewardship, how can we be a part of that conversation. Last but not least, this is our website, just so you'll know. It's really easy to find. You can go on the Barclay College website. I think I already showed you. These are the tabs that we have up. You can look. Our applications will be online September 1st, and they are due January 1st. And then this is just the drop-down menu for the mentors, and you can see some of the things that Whitney's already done for us. So who knows what the Valiant 60 is? Someone tell me. Okay, Jim, go.
Well, there were 60 Quakers that were sent out to preach and to talk with others about what was happening in their lives.
And they were a part of George Fox's first group that went out. Is that correct? So we've done a little bit of study on that. I'm going to read this to you. It says, the group that formed around George Fox and started the Religious Society of Friends was known as the Valiant 60. Those early Quakers were young and passionate in telling people about Jesus, the one who can speak to every person's condition. Kaleo Academy is looking for the new Valiant 60, young people who are ready to answer the call and to help lead the Friends movement into the future. And so our goal, our first year, is we would like to have 60 students. We think it would be really awesome to start out with that the first year that we're together. So in this book, I was reading one day, and this question has really been on my heart. And they were just saying, take a moment to reflect. Just, okay, let's start locally. Say we send 10 students from Iowa a year. Let's think about what happens if this succeeds. Just think about Iowa for a second. Take that a little bigger. What happens if we get 60 National Friends Youth? What happens? What does that look like? Okay, let's take it a little bigger. What happens to Christianity? What happens in our kids' generation? I mean, let's dream together a little bit. Think a little bit. So what I want you to hear from me, it's really important, is I want Kaleo Academy to succeed, sure, for Barclay, sure, for Lilly Endowment, sure, for the local church. More than anything, I want it to succeed for God's kingdom. Amen. And I want to be a part of something that is biblical, that allows the church. Here's the deal. God's voice to the world, he didn't pick any other place. He picked the church to be his megaphone. Mm-hmm. I know that sometimes I get frustrated with the bride, but that's the avenue that he picked. He didn't pick another way. Now, how the church does that looks different in every place, but wouldn't it be cool to see God's bride in the future, the next, 20 years of these grants, to see what would happen? And so that's just really my heart. I want you to know that, and that's Kaleo Academy's heart. I just want to finish with a verse for you. It's on the front here. It says, get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. And that's what we hope to do with students, is we want to help them explore what God's call might mean for them. And the cool part is you guys get to be a part of that. Be a part of that.
For a local meeting, it's so huge. We just had something happen that's just gigantic. And that is three of our young people moved back to Grinnell just within the last 2 years. And one just, Susie Gray, whose mother was on ministering council, now Susie's on ministry council. She's in her 30s. She grew up with us. We mentored her, we loved her, we taught her about the faith. And people walked alongside her, and now she's giving back to us. It's just huge.
I don't know how many of you are familiar with Christ in Youth. Maybe you've heard of CIY, which is, this is some of my heart too. I love that we send our students to all those places. I think anything that they can set aside to know God more is good. But I always get frustrated. We always have to send our students someplace else. It's always a frustration for me. But I was looking on their main website of all the programs they have, and each of them has a purpose, what they do. This is who we're targeting, it's how it goes. And then I kind of get that feeling when I come back, like going, we don't have plans like that at our church. We don't think about how what we need to be doing, who we need targeting, all those type of pieces. And so that's something I get excited about is, you know, even where we live in Grinnell, there's a couple of new church plants, and boy, they have a plan. They, the way that they work on getting people in their church is they take somebody out to dinner, they have a group of people, they have a plan, and then people move there. And so what is our plan for leadership development? What are we doing to try to develop leaders out of our church? Okay, questions. Anything that you guys have, things you're thinking about, clarifications?
Is it just 14?
No.
Because I have
Thank
a 16-year-old granddaughter.
Thank you. So we're targeting specifically sophomores and juniors. So this next summer, they would be going into their sophomore and junior year in the fall. I'm not going to say no to a senior. It's just that we know that seniors are busy. It's very hard for them. But here's a side note. It's really good for homeschooling curriculum. I've had a lot of homeschool moms come and say to me, this would be awesome for my student. And so be thinking that way too. That's why we don't want to say no seniors. So I have to wrap my brain about that a little bit right now. So if they're going to be in 9th and 10th next year, that means right now we're looking at 8th and 9th graders. And just think for a minute about an 8th grader in your church and you're like, that's what somebody's like, you know.
Two questions. One is this kind of a segue to recruit for Berklee College students? And two, can you or somebody come do a presentation at our church?
Sure. I can definitely answer the second one.
Okay.
And Derek can answer the first one.
You want me to go first?
Sure, that's fine.
The Lilly Foundation gave the money with the assumption that the colleges will use the money to recruit. So in a way, we are, in a sense, kind of bound by that. And some colleges take great advantage. For example, Malone University, they see their program as merely a regional thing to get students. If you look at the banner and the other things, I think you see Berklee College maybe once in about the tiniest print in the world. We do get students from all over. We're not expecting that. We are working that maybe they could get an advanced credit, but we will have, of course, our marketing materials there, but we're not under the assumption, and we don't want you to be under the assumption, that if you send your student here that they're going to be hounded. This is not like a timeshare thing where they come for a week, but just stay for this 45-minute meeting where we found the nursery. Because of Rocky's leadership and vision, one of the reasons and I'll be honest with you, a small Quaker college in western Kansas was entrusted with $500,000, is from the very beginning we said, we have an opportunity to reach American Quakerism, and I think that really intrigued Lilly, because every other program, how can we reach the Cleveland area or the Denver area? We want all our students from all around, and if they go back out and revive and regenerate the youth and the churches, hopefully they'll remember Berklee when they recommend it. But so that's it. I don't want to lie to you and say we're not going to have our flyers out and do that. But from the very beginning, from the administration down, we've seen this as way bigger than ourselves. And that's refreshing to me as a faculty member, because sometimes we can get closed-minded. How do we get the most out of it? Does that answer that?
Yeah, and actually, Lynn, as I've read some of Lilly's pieces, that's their hope, honestly. I mean, I want you to hear that that's more from Lilly than from Berklee, is because they're seeing statistically we have fewer and fewer students that choose to go into ministry. Like, I don't know if you've been in any dialogue from Berklee recently, but the amount of ministry students they have is like 15%. Does that sound right? Compared to all the other degrees, and we're seeing that decline everywhere. Now, of course, that's a part of the larger conversation of bivocational. I think we see trends in ministry happening that way. But you know, I think that one of the things we have talked about as a student, if they apply, because if you look at our application process, it's not just, hey, here's a nice piece and we're done. We're really trying to get students to think about their faith, but we're working with the admissions department that if they are accepted in it to Kaleo, they don't have to fill out an application for Barclay. It's automatic admission. And I hope other schools might do that. We've even talked about what would happen if our curriculum is in such a place where each Friends school, whether it be William Penn or Malone or Fox, wherever, that they could actually get college credit for like a teaching of Friends, you know, whatever. We're hoping, we can't do that our first year, but we're hoping to do that. And
my follow-up is that, you know, I noticed that some of these are Barclay classes,
right,
or at least titles of. You know, a lot of our college students are very motivated to take, you know, college credit courses in high school. That's the big deal,
yes,
right now.
Yeah.
So would, yeah, this somehow, because I know you're following up with online, I know 1 week you can't earn it, but if you're following up these classes online, what's the opportunity to get college credit?
That was my question.
Oh, absolutely. You just have to find it. Now, of course, every institution is bound by their registrar, and there have to be deals made, but at least at Barclay, absolutely, we're working quickly towards that end, that would be, you know, up to three, some have talked about six, but probably more like 3 credit hours, which is a nice savings. And if we can expand it out to our sister institutions and make it transferable, all the better. Of course, unlike a traditional class, you know, we're dealing with a different animal, so sometimes, you know, for those who don't know Barclay well, a camp, if you want college credit, that's a hard sell. But as we build those relationships, I think that's going to be a lot easier. So yeah, that's another motivating thing. You'll spend $700 to send a student, you know, at a traditional four-year university or community college, you're looking at around $300 a credit hour. It's almost paid for itself in the college credit you would save at a private Christian university or a community college. And so there are ways to get around that finances. And so it's a scholarship instead of just a gift to your students in the church.
Thanks, Lynn. That's a great
question.
I did want to mention too, I forgot about this. So within our budget each year, we also have scholarships for one international Friends student to come to the theology camp. And English speaking, but I'm really excited about that. Just last week, I was out in Eastern Region, and I can't remember, I think they're from Nepal, but their son's name is Pratik, and we had a great conversation, and I think, wouldn't that be exciting for students? Like that someone from our family across the world comes and gets to be a part of our voice together. I just think, and that's something that we wanted to do as a part of our budget, is to say, we want to invest to not just in the USA, for friends, because we know that as Iowa Yearly Meeting and being part of FUM, how big Kenya is, you know? They're a part of our family. And we want to say that we'd love to see one of those students come. Any other questions? And I'm going to give you 3 last things.
Did you answer?
Visiting or presenting?
Oh, yes, sure. Let me know when you want to do that. If you let me move here for a little bit, it'd be really great. Or I know that I can coordinate that around a family.
If my daughter comes back, once in a while.
That would be great.
Yeah, if there's other, I'm not saying you have to, but is there people on your team to do that?
Yes.
Especially when
you're
looking at a short window of application.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of need to.
Yes, Lynn, I will write that down, and we will work on sending it. And maybe we could do a regional thing.
Yeah.
You know, if some other churches wanted to come, would you guys be willing to just drive a little bit to get there?
Well, we have a quarterly meeting in November at our church. In fact, our church is hosting our quarterly. So we could bring our, make that our topic for our quarterly meeting in November. An idea.
Is it November 12th?
Don't have the date yet.
Okay.
I got 2 weddings in November in the country. So
and my birthday.
So
applications
do come in January 1st. And then does the program begin in August?
What will happen is in June, there'll be like right before a theology camp, there'll be an orientation for the student and for the mentor. Like I think the week before is what they do. So it actually begins the last, begin the third week of June. And it'll go through the end of April.
It says online curriculum, and it talks about international students. How does that work? Do they have to come over? Or do you, what is the process of an international student coming to join school year.
He'll come in this summer to a theology camp, and then that would be a part of them being a part of the program is do they have access to some online learning? Do they have access to a computer that they can get to? I asked for Teague, do you have a computer? And he said, yes, I do. My family has computers, that's something that I can do. So that would be a part of the requirement for them that they have access to that. So.
And then when it comes to visas and stuff like that.
Like a visa?
Yes.
That's when Matt Macy is working with us. He will help us. He'll have a whole, on our website, we haven't done that part yet, but he's going to talk about how does that happen, how does that work. He knows all that because he does trips all the time. Like, he's a better person to answer that question than me. Sure.
I mean, I'm from Minneapolis.
It was
amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How can you get in touch with Matt?
Yes.
If you look on there, and I'll give you a packet. There's a, it's a place you can contact me.
Do you have a cap on your number of people can attend?
Not right now. We don't. No, we don't.
60.
So a while back when you first started working on this, you had asked me about recruiting and kind of getting the word out. Are there materials for youth pastors such as myself to kind of pitch this to the youth?
I have a church packet for you.
Okay.
And a few student materials too. The thing I've learned about youth, well, two things. One is we're trying to figure out how you market on social media, because if they know one of their friends is going, then a lot of times that's why they want to go. Mm-hmm. But also, I think that's where you as a church leader can champion your kids to go. You would be great at this. Yeah. I mean, and that's the best way to coach, I think. Mm-hmm. And also on our website, which we haven't gotten this up yet, I want you to know there's going to be a whole thing for parents, a parents page. So they'll know what, and it's very important for us, the parents know that they have to sign on who the mentor is. And also the local pastor has to sign off on who the mentor is, just so that we get rid of all the red flags that might be out there. So three things that I need from you. One is, if you haven't received a church packet and you're in here from your church, I want to give that to you. Get this in the hands of someone who would champion leadership development. If it's not you, pass it on, please, and talk to them about it. Have them call me if you like. I'm happy to do that. The second is, we need students. So if you have names of students you want to give me now, I would love to have their names. What we're doing is I'll go home and say, I was talking with Hannah, and she mentioned that such and such would be a great candidate for this program. Here's our church packet. Would you consider that your church would be a sending church? And so it affirms it from that way too. And the third thing that we need is just prayer. Will you just pray for this endeavor? Really, I mean that. Just really, really pray for it. If God lays it on your heart when you're out walking or driving, would you remember to pray for us? And so I just want to ask, would someone be willing to do that today before we're done, just to pray for this? Thanks, Rose.
Father, as I sit here, and I'm just so grateful to you for what you have done, and how you, through your Holy Spirit, inspire people to do these good works that you have ordained from the beginning of time. So I lift up this Kaleo program and everybody that is involved in the production of it, in the execution of the teaching and the preparations and all of the hours of time that go into this. And Lord, I see good things coming. I see your hand. And therefore, I know that when we bless this ministry, you will do it, because this is according to your will. And so we do collectively right now agree in the name of Jesus that you would bring much fruit, that you would bring ministry, power of the Holy Spirit, and many, many, many new disciples. Thank you for Rocky. Bless her. Bless your Lord Jesus, all of this busy time in her life, as she takes some of these times, Lord, to come away and just talk with us, to share this. Bless her family, protect them in their transition. And bless the Barclay people for all that they do and how good that they have been to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
So if you didn't get a packet, please come see me, and I want to put one of those together for you. And if you have any names, please give me some names. I would love that. Thank you for coming.